welcome to the Orange Kids Podcast, where we talk kids ministry and discuss practical solutions to our week-to-week challenges. I'm Mike Clear, and sitting around the table with me are my co-hosts, Kellen Moore.
What's up, everybody?
And Gina McLean.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Gina. Kellen, you guys doing well?
Doing great.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Just got my tea.
You got some tea?
Got some tea.
You got hot tea.
You got beverage. You got a hot tea, and you got a...
Oh, I got the iced coffee.
You got the iced coffee. Oh, yeah. Brilliant. I have water, so I have... I have sad tap water, so that's what's going on right now in this situation. But we are coming to you today from the Orange Kids office just north of Atlanta, Georgia. And today on a podcast, we have a very special guest with us today.
Yes.
Dr. Jim Burns is here. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I am good. I actually have a Diet Coke and a bottle of water in front of me. I didn't order either one of them, so they just like showed up.
You are the special guest.
Man, that's what special guests get. They get options. It's like iced tea, hot tea, two things. Here's
bottle
your tap
and
water.
Here's your tap
there
water.
You go.
There you go, Mike.
So awesome. So good.
What does that tell you, Mike?
I don't know what it does, but I'll go
don't
with it.
Don't read into that.
Don't worry, I won't. So, Jim, it's your first time on the podcast. Thank you so much for being here. And Dr. Jim Burns, actually. And so... Jim, tell us for the one or two people out there who may not know who you are, tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
It's funny, the doctor, I never use the word, but people sometimes think I'm a doctor. And one thought I was an endocrinologist for some reason. They asked me a very embarrassing question. So, you know, no, I don't know. I don't even know what that is. And that's scary. My background is youth ministry. Yep. And so I worked with kids for years. Loved that. And then I started moving toward something that was really a movement of God, I think, and it was partnering with parents. So I wrote a book called Partnering with Parents in Youth Ministry for a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Now I see that happening so key and important with a younger generation, mm-hmm. younger kids, mm-hmm. parents of younger kids. And so I've kind of moved toward the parenting side. We talk a lot about how do you help kids have sexual integrity, some of the things we'll probably talk about on this podcast, but mm-hmm. it's a total privilege for me to also partner with Orange, because I just think Orange is doing great and glorious things here in the United States. And I was just, in South America, and there's people who are totally Orange fanatics there too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wow.
That's so cool. Well, the subject matter we're going to talk about, like you mentioned, is sexual integrity with kids. And I can't think of like a bigger subject matter to dive into. And, I think about this through not just the lens as a ministry leader.
Yeah.
I think through this through the lens as a dad. And I have a 10-year-old son and an 8-year-old daughter. And we have yet to have the talk. And it's the talk that every parent knows they got to have, that every parent feels ill-equipped to do, and they're not even sure when to do it, how to do it, what do I do, and all that. So I would love to kind of unpack that. And as ministry leaders, we obviously are not going to do a sex series during elementary years, because that would be your last time you would have an opportunity to do anything at your church. But how, like you said, in the whole partnership idea, we always want to come alongside parents and to encourage them mm-hmm. and to equip them and to resource them to be able to have these conversations when they organically happen. And so what are some things that we could do as churches, as ministry leaders, to lean into parents to help set them up to win when it comes to this idea of sexual integrity?
Well, most parents didn't have their parents talk to them about sex. Right. A lot of times I'll be speaking someplace and I'll say, how many of you received good, positive, value-centered sex education? Three hands go up in a room of 400 people.
Yeah.
So it immediately goes into the awkward mode, because they don't know what to do necessarily, but they know, like you said, they know innately that they need to talk to their kids. One of the reasons is because we know this, is that the more positive sex education kids receive, the less promiscuous they'll be. So with that thought in mind, it is time for us to help parents and partner with them. And part of that is giving them resources, but also part of them is helping them learn when do you have those kind of conversations, like you said. And I think you do it really, really, really young.
How young?
Yeah, I always say that you start at 3 to 5.
Yeah.
Because people are thinking, 3 to 5, you're talking about sex. No, you're talking about God made your body. God made girls and God made boys. And he made you special. Some have dark skin. Some have light skin. Some have different colors of eyes. What color are your eyes? And all of a sudden, you're going into that conversation because you're making them feel good about their body. Part of sexuality, such a key part, is your sexuality. So at 3 to 5, what's wrong with that? The other thing you do is, some people think this is awkward, but you give them the correct name of their body parts. I mean, you got 11-year-old boys running around talking about their wing-a-ding-ding because nobody told them that there's actually a correct name for that, private body part. How do you spell body?
Wing-a-ding-ding.
I mean, it's funny. But so to me, one of the things is we in the church can come alongside parents and say, hey, it's going to be awkward. And you know what? I write books on this subject. And, you know, like my daughter, I told my daughter, this is about Reggie Joyner, and I'll just throw him under the bus. I was talking to his daughter, Hannah, a couple of years ago. And I said, hey, so did you get good sex education? She goes, my dad thought he did a good job, but he actually was really awkward. And
that's just awesome.
Of course, I've told this to Reggie.
Awesome.
I went to my daughter looking for one up myself.
Yeah, some affirmation.
Because I thought I did pretty good. I said, well, here's what Hannah said about her dad. And she goes, oh, Dad, you are so awkward. You know, and I look like Reggie. Your bald head sweat, your ears turn red. And I'm going, seriously? Because I thought, oh, wow.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to be awkward. And I needed people in the church to cheer me on, to go, make it happen. You can do this. But what I also realize parents need badly is they need the resources and also the knowledge that, I mean, you have preschoolers or you have elementary school. Don't give them the 15-year-old conversation.
Yeah.
Right. Give them the preschool conversation.
Right.
So. Can I ask you a question about on that and that vein, for a ministry leader who knows that, as Mike, you said, we're not going to teach on this topic. I'm not going to do a 4-week series in preschool about sexual integrity. There is going to be a week every year or a couple of weeks where we focus on how God made you so intricately. Mm-hmm. We're going to leverage that opportunity. However, any time that I'm going to talk to a parent of a preschooler about this topic, about maybe how do you refer to their body parts, things like that. Mm. Those are always one-off conversations with maybe one out of, 50, 60 parents, right? And so I knew that was always good. If I ever had that conversation, it was going to be more reactive than proactive. And in order for me to feel like I was resourcing parents, I've had your book available for purchase in our resource center because especially the ones for babies and for toddlers, because they give you practical language. Yeah. Here's why I got stuck. I got called out on a coworker who said, Gina, do you know what's in that book? It created this tension. I had this immediate tension, even though I knew and fully believed what was in that book and that's beneficial for parents. I found myself having to defend why we would make that resource available
in the first place. Thank you for making it available. That's
funny.
But, we're going to take a hit because sexuality is very interesting. And, if you're talking about certain issues of faith, people aren't going to disagree with you or be awkward about it or whatever. But when it comes to sexuality, they're going to have opinions.
They do. Yeah.
And people have, varying opinions. Mm. And I think we just have to, look at the phases. And so for me, the phase, and I really like Orange's way of talking about the phase, there has to be an introduction. And so I think you give them research to say, you have a conversation. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, that doesn't mean it's wrong. Yeah.
Right.
But at the same time, I really do agree with your friend who took you to task. I think we have to read the resources. I think parents have to read the resources first. And maybe they say, you know what, you're talking about one of my books, but that Burns guy, he's all off. I wouldn't do the 3 to 5 year old thing that way. I'd do it at 6 to 9. At least you're then giving them a resource or helping them find other resources. As leaders, one of the things we can do is be kind of what I'd call resource junkies. Mm-hmm. So, is there material out there now? Yes, there is. There didn't used to be.
Yeah.
So there's good material. So find what makes them feel a little bit more comfortable. Like, for example, I have a big difference between parents. Now, these are as you start elementary, but I have a big difference between, say, homeschool parents and some parents who might have their kids in public school.
Yeah. So
So, some of the homeschool parents have a different opinion.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. They're the parents of the children. My job is to come alongside them.
Yeah.
But I still want to resource them and say, well, here's, a couple of options. What are you going to do?
Mm.
But I don't let them off the hook to say, don't talk about it. Because some of the same parents who are pushing you and others are the ones who aren't talking to their kids. Well, guess what? By age 11, they're going to see pornography.
Mm-hmm.
You want their first, boys say that their first sexual education is on the internet. Well, I'm not sure I trust the internet. Mm-hmm. So these same parents who are griping about it aren't having those conversations.
Right. Yeah. Jose, I had a question. I noticed you said a couple of times, I know that Gina, you said it, I know Mike, you said it in the very beginning, you're using the term sexual integrity over sexual purity. Cause I'm only 31, but I went through the, old school type church where it's, you got the purity ring and then the card and the whole nine yards. Why is it that you refer to it as sexual integrity
over
sexual purity?
Actually, I love the word purity. But unfortunately, the word purity, and I wrote a book called The Purity Code. It's probably today the most often used book for teens. But the problem is this. I wouldn't use the word purity now, not because it's not a great word, but because the world has made it into something so awkward and odd. And frankly, some of us Christians did weird things with the, you know, the purity ring is a cool thing. I know I just did a marriage and she took her purity ring off. She handed it to her husband to be. And it, I mean, we cried, all of us cried. I mean, that was a beautiful thing, but the parents did it right. Unfortunately, there's some weirdness out there too. So for me, I think I've moved more towards sexual integrity because it has really the same meaning. Purity is a biblical word. I mean, truly, and purity is, you know, I would raise the bar on purity because it involves with pornography or these other types of issues. So when we used to do some of the things, and I was a part of this, you know, speaking to kids, you know, we'd have them, you know, commit to not have sexual intercourse until marriage. Well, it didn't work. I mean, it lasted for about 18 months. So the secular studies on it, they were called pledgers. That's what happened in your, when you're talking about your old school thing. So it kind of didn't work. So now we're saying we've got to even raise the bar to help kids understand this at a younger age because they're being bombarded with things. Well, is it purity? Yes, it is. But for me, it's teaching them how to learn how to guard their heart, scripture, how to give their body to God, scripture, how to renew their mind. Well, you don't do that with what we've talked about with, you know, little tiny kids, 3 to 5, but you're setting the standard, because if you have the conversation at 3 to 5, then the next phase, the parents are going to want to talk about it more. And then by the time they're like, say, middle school, they're still willing to talk to their parents because they have had the conversation.
That's good.
Because my parents never talked to me. I never, it didn't even enter my mind to talk to my mom or dad about sex. I mean, I wasn't going there at all. I wasn't raised in the church. But again, going back to it, because the culture, I love what Paul did. Paul went into Greece and he talked about the Christian faith from kind of their vantage point. And if purity is going to turn somebody off, then I'll use the word sexual integrity. It kind of means the same thing.
That's good. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's great. You know, one thing as I'm listening to this, I figure, you know, like the organic conversations that happen in the lobby, like, hey, what do I do? The books on all of that is great, but it feels reactive.
Yeah,
to the moment.
Right.
And I wonder what could we do as churches to be proactive, to start, when you say like start young and start the conversations, even from this is your body, like how, are there practical ways that we could lean in to be able to say, hey parents, we're going to intentionally, and again, I don't know if it's an event, but I remember there was a student ministry, I think it was in Indiana somewhere. They had a mother-daughter event. It was a mud run. And they went and through the mud run and got dirty and all that stuff. And then afterwards they brought them together, filthy, messy. And they talked about true identity and they talked about beauty and they talked about, and they did, it led to some great conversations. I was like, man, that's great. Then they did a conversation. They did an event with dads and sons about pornography. And it was called like football, chili, and pornography. And they talked about, so they didn't unload a lot of content and facts and stats, but they teed it up and set it up for dads and sons to begin to have conversations. And I just thought, I don't know what that looks like in children's ministry world, but are there some proactive things that we could be doing in addition to the things that we have talked about with
them? Actually, those are, I like those kind of ideas.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
something experiential and yet you're getting down to it. And you know, we could laugh about the mud thing and we could laugh about pornography with football or something. But the truth of the matter is they were willing to provide anything to help these parents have that conversation.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think with younger kids, it really is something that they can have. They can, I mean, you can help with parents because you can teach younger kids with parents in the room. You know, I mean, talking about sex with parents who have high schoolers, that's not as easy to do because they're like, no, what do you want to know, mom and dad? You know, they don't want them in the room. But with younger kids, you can have some of that. So you can have some kind of an event. I like that. And then have a God made your body event. Because again, we're so weirded out about the word sex, but sex is so much more than quote unquote doing it. So I think you do exactly what you just said. I think you have, you know, some events to have those kind of conversations. And, but the cool thing is what we can do in the church, and this is about partnering with parents, is you have that event, it brings the parents together, but then you offer them questions, maybe even some type of a curriculum, you know, as Orange is coming out with this great new curriculum called MADE. So some kind of a curriculum that actually parents can blend in. I find that today, quote unquote, the parents page, after you've had that conversation that you hand to them or you put it on the, on, you know, online, Those are cool things to do for next gen ministries, for any kind of family ministry. Are you going to get every parent to do this? No, you're not. It's not going to happen. But, you know, since when did we get 100% participation for any family event?
True. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I love the idea of it's almost like a zero entry pool as opposed to diving in the deep end. You know, we tend to, as parents, there's so much fear wrapped around the conversation for a variety of reasons. One, it's uncomfortable, you know, but two, it's you don't want to get it wrong.
Yes.
You know, I think a lot of parents, I know for myself, I find myself in that space around a lot of topics, not just the idea of sexual integrity, is I don't want to get this wrong. You know, and if I don't do this well, then what does that result in? Mm. But I love the idea of starting young and having conversations about their body, how God created their body, what are their body parts called, things like that, because it does demystify the topic to some degree. And you grow comfortable with it over time as the conversation becomes commonplace to some degree. So that by the time you're actually talking about the birds and the bees, it's not new anymore.
No, you know? It's almost expected.
It's
almost like a marker. Okay, right, now that you're 11, we're going to have this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you were six, we had this conversation.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and the point is, you know, and all studies show this, the talk doesn't work. You know, you talked about the talk, because we use that. You didn't mean the talk. It sounds too weird, but we should say the dialogue, and the dialogue starts really young, and the dialogue goes, I mean, I'm having conversations about sexuality with my children who are now adult children, but it's because they feel comfortable, you know, having that. It was almost like on Heidi's, right kind of before her wedding, this is my youngest, and we're walking on the beach, and she's asking me a couple of questions. I'm like, oh man, I'm your dad. Please don't ask me these questions. I mean, you know, it was because we had told her when she was two, you know, that she had a vagina instead of, you know, her private part. She felt comfortable having those conversations. Frankly, more comfortable than me. Okay, because since my parents didn't talk about it, it's always going to be awkward for me.
Yeah.
So again, if we can do that, the younger we have just the conversations about their body, then they're going to go, okay, I guess there's going to be something next sometime.
Yeah.
There is. And eventually we're going to get to dating and relationships and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's just, those first stages are introduction.
Yeah.
You know, how cool is that? That we as parents get to do that as opposed to, you know, I'm not throwing the entire culture on the, you know, under the bus, but, you know, the culture is not our friend when it comes to some of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. No, for sure. Mm. And, you know, I love what you said. The talk is not the talk. It's an ongoing dialogue. Yeah. It's an ongoing conversation. And from the kids ministry side of things, we know that our friends in student ministry, in middle school and high school, they talk about sex at least once a year, probably far more than that.
Man.
And I think it would be important as a children's ministry leader to be aligned with our student ministry to be able to say, when are you talking about it on your teaching calendar? So that, again, we're not going to teach about it in there, but we could be proactive while you're talking about it with middle school and high school. We can connect parents to a resource, a book, whatever it may be, a blog post, a podcast, this podcast, or whatever it may be to help the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. I mean, we used to have a thing when I was a youth pastor at a church called Mariners in Southern California. Mm-hmm. We called it Sex Month, and it ended
high attendance.
I'm serious. Our attendance went up. That was crazy. And sometimes Sex Month was talking about dating. It had nothing to do with what we think of when we think of sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet our pastor picked up on it. And one year he goes, I'm speaking on Sex Month. Well, guess what? That was awesome for our church, because then the whole church kind of got around God made your body. Hmm. But what I want to say is when we're saying we can't talk about sex with younger kids, and we refer to this, I think we can if we talk about body. God created your body.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you're actually having conversations that truly would be the conversations that you'd have with children that no parent is going to be bugged about at a young age.
Yeah, it's good.
And frankly, even when it comes to, say, elementary school kids, where there's really a different phase there, as soon as you've moved out of the kind of 5-year-old, six on to 9, 10, whatever, you know, I've had, you know, 9-year-olds talk to me about the fact that somebody touched their body and made them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So we need to be at a place, and parents should do this better than, but we sometimes can say things too, where, you know, it's not appropriate for someone to touch you and make you feel uncomfortable. And if they do, you can say, stop. Now, again, that's not going farther in the world of sex education, if you would, but that is sex education.
Yeah.
And I find that if parents have that conversation between that one phase, the more the elementary school phase, 80% of child sexual assaults are done between people who they know, love, and oftentimes trust. Mm-hmm. Not always, but that is the case. So if that's the case, then a parent needs to say, you can talk to me and I'll never get mad at you. What you might be doing is saving the one out of three women who are sexually abused by the time they're 19 and the one out of six men in today's society, just by having that. So at the church, don't say, well, we're never going to talk about it. True, we're not talking about sex and doing it and sexting and all that kind of stuff to a five-year-old. I mean, please, no. But we can have those kind of conversations about the, you know, God being, creating them in his own image and all those beautiful things. But don't be surprised if even out of the mouths of babes, kind of a weird question comes. So we have to be prepared for that, because you might be talking about God created your body and they're going to go, where do babies come from? What? You know, and then this is what you're talking about, Gina.
Yes.
You got to semi be prepared for some of that. Mm-hmm. And really, I think the church needs to be on board when you have the, you know, these times, because what is the view that the church has about a certain aspect of sexuality that can be sometimes confusing? So I think it's important that even church leadership has the conversation of, here's what we're going to talk about, here's not what we're going to talk about. And you take different groups of people within the Christian church have different opinions about, you know, some of the things that aren't, I mean, controversial things, but even some of the ones that aren't, like, no, we'll never talk. We won't talk about that. We have to, we have to honor our leadership.
That's good.
Well, I think that's a great, my question jumping off of that, Jim, is how would you recommend a ministry leader? What would you recommend a ministry leader do to make sure that their leadership is aware of not just what is going to be taught, but why?
Why we're even moving in that direction?
Yeah. Well, I think that's partly our job as a ministry leader, to have conversations with the leadership in our church, to have conversations with parents. I mean, I'm big on partnering with parents. So I think, you know, there's a parents advisory board that could give us some insight and wisdom and help on that too. So you're kind of covered on this situation.
Yeah.
But we have to do two other things. You know, we're talking about talking directly to the kids, but I think we have to train the parents. So I'm big on, you know, having these teaching your children healthy, you know, sexuality seminars. And I want those younger kids, parents, to be in that room, even though you might be talking about sexting and they're not ready to worry about that, but they need to know about the other aspects that you would bring up. And so I think we train the parents. I think we do events that kind of train the parents. And you know, we used to bring a woman who, she's an OBGYN. She was at our church. She was awesome. She could get away with saying stuff I could never say. Yeah. She'd go, this is gonorrhea. And she'd show like a slide and like all the parents are like, you know, your kids, you know, and it's kind of your old school stuff, man. They were like, these parents are going, okay, no, locking our kids up.
No, stop.
But that was really helpful. And they, I mean, they were like saying, thank you so much. And then I think we have to train our staff, because I think even in more elementary than say preschool, but even in elementary, do they have any kind of training when a kid just off the wall says, what about, or I saw my mom and dad do this or whatever. I mean, how do you react? I mean, I just saw you give the cringe. That is just the grossest thing. I said that because last week a parent said, okay, so like we didn't lock the door and what do we now say to our kid? And the kid was like five. I don't think the kid even knew what was going on.
But the parents
much
like
bigger to the parent than it was to the kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they wanted me to say, oh, psychologically you need, and I just kind of went, it sort of happened and
lock the door, man.
Yeah,
I don't know what to tell you.
Start locking it. But the point that I'm saying is I think we need to be training our parents and training our staff, especially on these issues here. We had a thing recently at our church where I spoke for like 10 minutes to our, this was student ministry, so we did junior high and high school staff. And I spoke for about 10 minutes and we just took on questions. And it was much better because the questions, they're saying, people are freaked out because some people are going, so in my girls' small group, they asked me this question. I had no idea what to say. And so now I'm dialoguing with them.
Yeah.
But other people were saying, seriously, if I'm a small group leader, I'm going to get that question. Well, not necessarily, but that was what was going on.
Be ready,
So when you say train staff, you're referring to small group leaders.
Yeah, your small group leaders, your Sunday school leaders, your if the, you know, people have some kind of a weekday ministry. You're seeing a lot of that with younger kids now. Yeah. Like at our church, we have kind of a Wednesday thing that goes great. Vacation Bible school. So some of the, I'm not saying you go crazy on it, but if you are going to bring any of this up, say with something like a special summer deal or something, I think we do a little bit of training. Yeah. Over the year, you know, continue to give them, you know, some input and training. The good news is like we said, there's good resources for parents today. There's good resources for training too.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of the resources you mentioned that you've helped us create here at Orange, you talked about the series called Made and the importance of alignment of what Student Ministries is talking about, making sure that we're touching on it as well in preschool and elementary. And we're excited about this series. And it's called, can you tell us just a little bit about it, about what you help do?
Well, I'm thrilled because I don't think in the world we've had this. And I think I'm so thrilled and honored that Orange is doing this. And so what it is it's a curriculum. And it starts with little kids, really little kids. And in that, you're simply, you know, just kind of, you know, informing them what, you know, what their body, you know, it's the stuff we kind of already talked. So you're kind of introducing them to their body. And then in the next one, it's informing them. That would be more the elementary school. And then, you know, there's stuff for middle school. There's things for high school. And again, it's not taking the place of parents doing this because it's more effective for parents, but it's giving a curriculum for leaders who to kind of start using. And hope what I really, they don't have to, but I would want the people who are working with preschool people to use MADE at the same time as the high school leaders. The reason I love that is because then it says to the church, sexual integrity is important. It's not, I've seen it. It's not preachy. It's not lectury. It's great dialogue, but you are going to get some of those kind of conversations on the side. So we got to get prepared for it. But MADE is done in the best of way that Orange does it, with media and experiential education and all that kind of good stuff. And it's, I really believe that it's strong, healthy, biblical sexuality that is just awesome. So I'm totally sold. I can't wait for it.
We're excited about it. And if you are a curriculum partner of Orange Kids or Orange Students, it comes out in March. So our March curriculum will all be talking about this May, discovering who you're meant to be. And if you're not a curriculum partner, you can purchase this as a resource as well. We'll put a link to that resource in our show notes. The other thing you helped us create on the FACE project, you mentioned that earlier, is the sexual integrity timeline. Can you tell us a little bit about that resource?
Well, again, the whole FACE project is pretty awesome. And one of the reasons why it's awesome is because it's biblical and it has integrity with the development side. So what happens is we kind of go through the same thing. I worked a little bit on the sexuality side. So it's kind of what we've been talking about, but it's the same thing. Like my daughter right now, she has read three books from the FACE series. She has a three-year-old, my grandson, James, And she just goes, Dad, it's so helpful to know why he's acting the way he does. Or, you know, it's kind of like prophetic. It'll, he'll say, this is what he's going to do. And, you know, next week it's like, what the world? You know, he's starting to do it. But, it, you know, the FACE project is for kids from zero, really, till the time that they would graduate. That's, so it's helping you understand is why they act the way they do. And it's in the important issues of the day, one being sexuality. So if somebody isn't aware of, on this podcast, if they're not, if they're listening and they don't know about the FACE project, they should really take a look at it. Kristen Ivey, who is one of my heroes, takes the lead on it. And she and Reggie and others have just done a wonderful job of putting this together. And, you know what? It helps not only parents. I'm a big fan. I make parents actually, you know, take out a, you know, their phones and get on the website and, you know, whatever. But it's actually, it's leaders, because a lot of us, when I got into youth ministry, I mean, I thought I was going to play a mean game of volleyball and teach the Bible. Next thing I know, I'm going, whoa,
that's not
this
what you do.
Middle school kid is asking me this question. Well, I had to learn developmental stuff real quick. And that's what it does. So it's a great project that really needed to precede MADE. You couldn't have done that if MADE, which is so awesome, wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the FACE project. That's such a big thing around here.
And that sexual integrity timeline is amazing, and we want to offer it for free to all of our listeners. So we will put a link in the show notes where you can go and download that and go through that as a leader, or you can pass that on to the parents in your ministry as well. So, well, Kellen, Gina,
I'm a little tired after that conversation.
I know. This is great. There's a lot of stuff, process, a lot to unpack, and as a leader and as a parent especially. So Jim, thank you so much for being on our podcast and sharing everything, and appreciate your ministry to partner with families and to help with this issue. So well, thank you guys for joining us for this conversation, and the conversation we don't want to stop here. If you have any thoughts or questions that you want to contribute, we invite you to join us on our Facebook group. To continue the conversation, you can find a link to our Facebook group in our show notes at orangekidmen.com. You'll see a link for that, and again, we'll have a link for the sexual integrity timeline, a link to our MADE series, and other resources that we've mentioned here on this episode. And as always, if you like what you've heard and you want to hear more, make sure you subscribe to our podcast and also leave us a review while you are there. It helps spread the word about our podcast, and we would greatly appreciate it. So thanks for hanging out with us today on the Orange Kids Podcast. We will see you next time. And Kellen, take us out with a little diddly.
Oops, we listened to Jim. Well, thanks for listening. That's all I got.
Wow. All right.
That was perfect.